What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/newbook and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy Morgan. Our minds are blown right now. Am I right?
Well, we just heard, and you're about to hear, how you can walk into a store no longer saying, how much will I spend, but how much can I make?
Yeah. What? Ann Sieg is our guest today. She just literally left off at the end of this interview saying, you should be thinking about a store, not as how much I'm going to spend there, but how much I'm going to make from it. It's a money machine.
If there's any part of this podcast where you start saying, man, is this for me? I want you to fast forward to the end, right? I want you to hear all of her story, because I think it's amazing that as a homeschool mom, she allowed her kids to make mistakes, to start businesses, to do things that has made them successful. She talked about how one of her sons at 21 years old had gotten injured, but had all this income coming in because he created businesses online. She's been doing marketplace business since 2004, so she knows what she's talking about. But I love the fact that you can walk in a business, take your phone out, scan an item, figure out, can you sell that item online for a profit? And if you can, you buy it in bulk and you turn around and do that. And I know you're like, what are you talking about, Russ? I had no idea. I've never heard this myself, but we just sit there and heard Ann talk about her top seller made $300,000 last year in revenue selling, doing this exact model.
I mean, if your head is spinning right now, it's okay. I mean, that's exactly what my experience is right now. I do not want you to miss this interview. In fact, we went long, so we're going to just cut the intro quick. We need to get to this interview. Ann Sieg is our guest today. Let's dial in. Dad, do you have to go to work today? If you're tired of having to answer yes to that question and you're ready to stop trading time for money, join Russ and I on this journey to financial freedom at community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
This is a place where you can take control. You can pick your own path and get there faster. Go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
Welcome into the show. We have Ann Sieg in the studio today. Welcome to the show, Ann.
Hey, great to be here.
And I love the fact that you are a homeschool mom, yes, who has created an amazing entrepreneurial business, not only for yourself, but with your kids along the way. And I'm excited just because Joey and I, we've talked pre-show, our kids homeschool, and we're always looking for creative ideas. And passive income streams is something that is a passion of the person listening to you right now. So I want to take the listener back to the moment that you said something has to change in my life. And I believe it happened on a soccer field, if you tell me right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, first of all, we were already owning a business at that time. It was an automotive industry and it was windshield replacement. So we were already owning a business. However, really a big shift was when at the soccer field with, you know how it is, the parents along the side and you're having conversations, and somehow we got into the conversation of retirement. And I thought, well, I wonder what he's thinking for retirement. It was a mom and dad. And he said, oh, I know, I'll be working till the day I die. And that just, I thought, oh, so, okay, I'm not the only one who's thinking that way. But he really, it was very impactful. You know, that moment, there was like that stamp in time where it was where I kind of grew up inside of this ownership that I would, well, first of all, I was raised by a libertarian father, so I had plenty of that in my childhood. But it was really at that defining moment that I thought, if there's to be a safety net, it's going to be us, my husband and I. And so, sure, we had our own business, and it was more of an E or an S type of business, meaning if my husband didn't work in the business wouldn't keep going. So it was a more of an S quadrant business. We didn't really have leverage, and I didn't really want it. We were homeschooling at that time, and my husband did want to grow, and I said, I can't. My priority is homeschooling, and I do not want to deal with employees right now. So I purposely, you know, I wasn't able to be there with him to help grow it to where he wanted, but that's all right. So anyways, but I knew I had to increase my financial education. And so I signed up for some community ed classes, and it just put me on a path of knowledge that I had to own my future and not be unknowing, unsuspecting, and thinking that, well, the government is going to take care of me. And my dad had schooled me quite heavily on that thought, you know, was that that's not going to happen anyways. But so that's what really set the trajectory for me, was that conversation.
Wow. So you said at that moment you realized you basically owned your job at that point. Like the S quadrant, that's how I think of the S quadrant. If people are listening, we're talking about Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant, and the S quadrant is self-employed, but that's really for somebody that, it, like you said, if they don't show up to work,
right,
they're so low economically dependent.
There you go. Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere. And if we, Russ and I, refer to that as you've created a business, but really it's you own a job.
That's right.
At that point. And so you woke up to that and you said, I've got to take action.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. So what I did, aside from getting education, is I had been in direct sales starting when I was pregnant with my second child. And so I had done those, and I actually really enjoyed that. And this was back in the day when we didn't have this thing called the internet. And so for the ladies, they may remember the house parties, they're called, and you're showing your wares and you're hoping people will buy your stuff. I did a lot of that as a way to generate income. So additional income. For example, I did Avon. And so with my boys, I had a very strong belief that I'm not just going to hand them things. They're going to grow with us in the family. So I always had them do our family businesses with us, so that we were strengthening the family economy. I am extremely adverse to just giving my kids, it's just not how I was wired. Just, you know, hand out stuff, and they're atrophied. They're not built up and made strong through the skill sets that they can develop through entrepreneurship. So anyways, like even just when I did Avon, have you guys ever heard of Avon?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. All righty. So
Russ is actually wearing some right now, I think. Oh. Some stuff on his face. I don't know what it is, but
just keep on, Ann.
I'll just keep on.
Attempts to make jokes around here, and I know that I heard the silence and the crickets. Everyone driving right now is just like, was that supposed to be a joke, Stallion?
Well, they do have products for men too. Now, I haven't sold that in about 20, 30 years, but all to say, the boys would go with me and do the door knobbers. And, you know, so it's like, we're doing this together. We delivered phone books together. My son needed braces. I said, you want to have braces? Tell you what, you're going to work to get your braces. I'll do a paper route with you. I was always wanting them to understand that it takes work to get stuff. Stuff just doesn't happen. And so because we are very entrepreneurial, my husband and I, we just kind of rolled them right into that experience any opportunity we could.
Well, is there something that, you know, obviously you mentioned your father was a great influence into helping you think from that perspective too, but, and we just jumped into talking about the different quadrants, but I didn't hear you specifically say the book that talked about that was, you're referencing Robert Kiyosaki. Was that a big influence early on in this path?
Absolutely huge. Basically, so this is when I was homeschooling, and as I think most homeschoolers know, you also have these co-ops and those kind of things where you can bring the kids together and you have a variety of classes available. So we were at one of those. We had a school of sorts like that where they could learn some classes in that way. And we were at Barnes & Noble, and I was walking down the aisle in the middle where they have those bigger displays in the middle with the table, and you see all the books more faced like that, not like this. And I saw, it was like a banner that you see online. And that book, it was actually Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is up on my bookshelf, just jumped out at me. The purple, the gold. I'm like, what? Rich Dad, Poor Dad? What the rich teach their children that the poor don't? Excuse me?
Yeah.
The rich are teaching something different to their kids than the poor? This is interesting. I don't want to be in that camp of, you know, the poor teaching incorrectly to their children. I want to be like those teaching the rich principles, right? So it was kind of pour the salt in the wound kind of subhead there. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I better read this. So I had just pulled my eldest son out of eighth grade. I pulled him out middle of eighth grade. And I was so impressed with that, with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that I told my son, I said, you need to read every book this guy has written. So he was in the middle of eighth grade, and he did end up consuming all those books. So what happened, and it's kind of a little bit hard for me not to get emotional about this, is my eldest son and I actually ended up having a parallel journey by virtue of the exposure to those books, mine a little bit independent of his, and then he was doing his. And he had numerous businesses in high school, numerous businesses. And I wanted it to be an environment that was very conducive towards it being okay to try things, and not an environment, a culture where, you know, you're scolded, you're chided. You didn't make that work, really? That's just not how it works in life, you know? So I gave him that permission to be able to just try a lot of things. I didn't even know he was selling cars after he told me all these things. And I was pretty much, I just gave him permission. One was a mini ATM. And I had to sign off on it because he was less than 18 years old. And I said, I don't know if this is going to work or not, because he had me read the thing, and the internet was all very new then. And I'm reading, I said, well, I don't know if this is going to work or not. And I said, but you'll definitely learn something. Well, it turned out the guy that he contracted the mini ATM way across the country was a felon. So there was, you know, all this kind of just drama behind that. And not real bad, you know, I don't want to scare anyone, but it was more like, this is life.
Well,
this is life.
I love what you're saying, because Russ and I talk about the need to be able to fail forward, right? Mm-hmm. People need a license. The way that we're programmed, even from day one in school,
yeah,
is you can't make a mistake.
Right? You're tested. You're tested. Yes. And everybody's goal is to avoid mistakes.
Right. And yet what you did is you gave him an environment that allowed mm-hmm. that to happen. And man, that is so vital.
But, I mean, and I want to bring this point. We've talked about this point before, Ann, but I'm really curious as to your thoughts on it. And when we have kind of observed our children as they've grown up, and we've helped in Sunday school classes and everything else, and you can't go in those Sunday school classes without asking a question and having every single hand go up. But also then remembering our experiences of sitting in public school, high schools, and when a question is asked from the front of the room, and even now in our adult Sunday school classes, a question is asked, or in any, it doesn't even have to be the church, it doesn't have to be the school, in any environment where there's a group speaking, a group event, and there's a speaker, and they ask a question of the group, how many hands go up?
Very few.
Yeah. And I wonder if it hasn't been a programming throughout life that says you can't make a mistake. And so if I speak up at this point, it's possible I'll be wrong and I may be chided for that.
Right.
Do you think that? Is that what you were thinking as a parent to say, well, I'm going to let my kid fail because I don't want them to think that way?
I just knew that that's the process of success in business, is you try different things. To that point, what you're saying about that, comfort level of being able to speak up and express oneself. So I have a marketing company, and within my team and staff, it's mutually understood everyone has a say into the conversation, because what I teach is that there's no right answer here, because it goes to the court of public opinion. Meaning, when we put forth a marketing piece, well, the end users will be the best voters with their pocketbooks. Meaning, and I tell them, we cannot afford to be beholden and in love with our own idea. Because at the end of the day, it's a series of tests. Now that's in marketing, but you extrapolate out into business and it's very similar. And so within my team, it's a very, I don't know if I want to say democratic or egalitarian kind of a way of running my business and my company, but you know, anyone in any department could have the next best idea. So right. I said, and so what I had in my family and the way I raised my children is the same and how I run my business. It's not a top-down kind of a thing, because then I lose that ability to incubate ideas. And then if someone feels any bit, oh man, that was a stupid thing, I'm never going to do that again, I want them to feel very comfortable with bringing up their ideas. And so it's through that free flow of exchange of ideas, because marketing is extremely fluid and dynamic. And so by necessity, I need to run it that way, albeit there are very distinct direct response principles that undergird all that I'm doing for marketing, but having the openness of ideas in exchange. So that I got from my dad, that kind of mindset.
That's awesome. Yeah, we need more of that. And I think Russ and I have even learned along the way that our gut is a liar when it comes to marketing, and we should not trust it. I love your court of public approval or opinion. That is definitely what we need to lean on. So you have talked about your son's path there, but then you mentioned your path from now. You've been educated, you've been reading some things. Mm-hmm. What happened from there?
Yeah, so what happened is, so when he was 18, so he gets through high school doing all these different things, and I was helping my husband with his windshield business, and then I had that pivotal moment on the soccer field, and I thought, I got to do more. And so when he was 18, he got exposed to multi-level marketing. So you can think of Amway as an example. So he got into that, and then he shares it with me. And I thought, well, I can do that, because I've kind of been doing the direct sales for 20 years. I can do that.
Right.
And so, and I thought it'd be cool to work with him in a business. So that is what then brought us together as a mom, you know, mother-son team. And he sponsored me. And I'm a real go-getter. Like when I make up my mind to do something, I just want to go and get it done, you know? And so I had a vision to bring my husband home. Yes, we had our windshield business, and he really did love it too, by the way. He was, he's very hands-on, loved having that independence. He absolutely loved his business. But so I get going with what Robert Kiyosaki calls a kitchen table business or a side business. And so it's this network marketing thing. And I just went to town, and I became a top seller in my state. And I was moving a lot of products. They're nutritional products. But this whole duplication thing wasn't working very well for me at all. And that's the whole theory and concept of multi-level, is your people are your little business centers, if you will. Mm-hmm. So if you can get a lot of people underneath you being big producers, well, the money flows up to you and you get a certain commission or percentage. My people wouldn't duplicate me. And I had mostly medical professionals. And I was putting on health awareness seminars, doing education-based marketing. And I was just moving a lot of product. It was just really natural for me because I was educating. That's how I'm wired. My parents were educators. I'm going to be educating. So anyways, my son was about 19, 20 by that time. And no one was taking him seriously. So he went off to study internet marketing and copywriting specifically. And he ended up becoming the top affiliate in the world for GetResponse, for Best Western. He was a top affiliate for Walmart at age 21, primarily by mastering Google AdWords. So he's going that. So we were together. Then he splits off because no one would listen to him as a young kid to join his business, which was network marketing. So I was like, okay, fine. And he was extremely disciplined. And by the way, he moved out when he was 18, and he was already owning real estate by age 20 or 21. He had two pieces of property. And so now he's learning internet marketing. And then I ran into a snag with my business that I couldn't get duplication. And I'm a really logic-based person, and so I'm asking for help. And they said, you just need to do more of what you've already done. I thought, that's not logical. I've already done it five times over. When a company says, do this once, no, I do it five for added measure just to make sure it's going to work. So then I went on, well, actually, I told my son, this isn't working. He said, Mom, you need to go online, and you need to find out who your ideal customer is. And I'm like, excuse me, what? They're not teaching that in the network marketing company. But I did. I went online. I wish I knew what I typed in, the keywords, but that absolutely changed my life more than anything in terms of just everything changed. I came online May of 2004, so it's been 15 years. And I was really blessed to have a great mentor and coach, and he brought me into his mastermind. And so now I'm starting to take off online. I tell my son, now, this is really weird. And so he has literally got passive income, total leverage income. He's gone. He's on a crotch rocket in July 19th, and he's going about 85, 95 miles an hour on the 494 Beltway, Twin City metro area. And it's raving hot that day, 95. And by this time, too, my husband's windshield business was starting to die because a new law in the state of Minnesota came out, which was about advertising practices. So now it was a good thing I had started building that kitchen table business. My son wipes out, and he had extreme road rash, not a broken bone on his body. I said, well, you must have more work to do on the planet. Get up, Keep going, you know? So anyways, he had to move into our house while I took care of him with his road rash, bandaging him for 3 weeks. It was very, he was pretty damaged, but he had no worries about a job. He didn't have a job. He was making his living completely online at age 21 through affiliate marketing. So I said, you know what, Isaiah, I got a good thing going here. I think you should consider joining me in business. And so we joined forces, and we became the top producers in that company. Then he said, Mom, we need to go to another level. We need our own product, our own books. So we have three books that we authored together. And our first book, we did $4.5 million in sales from my ebook. I've got a little chart of it. The sales funnel is up on the wall right there. Yeah. But anyway, so that's what we did as a team. And we built a subscriber list of about 400,000 people worldwide very rapidly through Google AdWords because he was highly skilled at that. However, and something called the Google slap came along December 2nd of 2009 for me. And it wiped out a lot of people's businesses. So there's a big lesson learned. I got about 15 years more than that. Anyway, so that pulled the rug out from underneath us once again, having to do with advertising.
But, and can I stop you really quick?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I want to hear this story, but I don't want someone who's listening to this that hears you talking about Google AdWords, having an online business, and doesn't even really know what that means,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because some of us have not created an online business where you're doing affiliate marketing. They don't even know what affiliate marketing is. So can we stop and kind of just cover some of those basic points? And forgive me if you're listening to this, you're like, Russ, I get this. But I'm watching Joey right now, and Joey's kind of looking at me like, please, I don't understand these big words that Ann's
using. Oh, okay.
I'll be under the bus if anybody needs me.
Okay. Affiliate marketing is very simple. And if you watch a commercial, if you watch The Profit with Marcus Lemonis or The Shark Tank, you might see, I'm going to guess, if you guys ever seen a GoToWebinar commercial on TV, GoToWebinar, it's an affiliate program. And what that means is if you refer business to GoToWebinar, meaning you have a sales page, so and we're huge affiliate marketers, my son and I, but it would be, and we would have an affiliate resource in our back office. So when people came into our back office, which means an online website that you have to gain access to with the username and password, is what a back office means. And then we would have these tools and resources within our own back office of tools that would help people who were wanting to build what's called a sales funnel, an online sales funnel. So I'll make a little metaphor and analogy. If you're driving down the freeway and you see that there's a Taco Bell what do you call those, road signs, you know?
Yeah.
That's advertising. And they say next right or whatever. And so there it is. There's the billboard. And then you know to get off and it sends that sign and the traffic going down the freeway is referring business to that Taco Bell store. Well, online, there's all sorts of different ways that you can have traffic. And all traffic means is lots of eyeballs. And obviously you want to have targeted traffic. People are interested in what you have to offer. And then you take them to your offer. So that's what we taught people, was how to build an online sales funnel. And we have three training manuals on that. They're not as, I'm not actively promoting them right now, but that was our big heyday. And so with that, when you have traffic, you might have a banner on a website, for example, that you pay to have your banner on that website. And if you click that banner, and then it may take them to your offer. Let's say it's a weight loss offer, who knows what all, there's a million things you can sell. But referral marketing or affiliate marketing is when it's someone else's product. And that's a great way to start because it's a whole nother endeavor to create your own product. It's a project. Now your skill level has to go up another notch. But when you're just referring business to other people, it's a really nice way to start to generate an income online is through affiliate marketing.
So what would be some of the, just to give us an example of some of the things that you built into your business that were affiliated with somebody else's product? Like what would be a couple of examples that you used?
Software. For sure. Because when you come online, you're going to be using a lot of different software. We're using Zoom right now. You guys have about 5 accounts, if I recall. We've got 2 in our team and all my staff each has their own Zoom account as well. I don't recall if that's an affiliate program. We now have our e-commerce business school. And so in our back office under tools and resources are a number of different software that are associated with e-commerce sellers. So there's this relevancy, you know, to the scope of what I happen to be doing. Then I have software. And so what software does is it essentially speeds up our time. It creates leverage and, you know, shrinks time for us. They help us. Other things can be a referral. It can be, we have actually in our back office is a referral too. Oh, you'd like a virtual assistant, someone from the Philippines that you could hire and do the work for you at a 1/6 of American wages. We actually have a referral program and I get, I don't remember what my kickback is, 10% or some such thing. I don't remember, but all the different affiliate programs will have a different kind of commission or payout. So you can get a referral on a service. So that's a case in point, a virtual assistant where I get a kickback and rightly so, because I'm using my traffic to help them get business and my traffic is worth something. So they give me commission in like kind.
It's marketing. I mean, you're doing marketing for companies who are selling products and services, mm-hmm. and they need people, they need eyeballs, because of that, you get paid a percentage to do that. And Joey and I have met so many people over the last 2 or 3 years that have made 6 and 7 figures a year doing exactly what you're saying. Like mm-hmm. their business is really just to highlight other people's products and services. Mm-hmm. And they get paid percentages to do that. I'm fascinated by that. And I want to hear kind of like, is that something that I could do? I mean, I'm listening to you. I'm on the treadmill right now. I'm driving down the road. Is that something I could do? Like how easy is it for me? Maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's for my spouse. Maybe it's for one of my kids. How easy is it for me to get into a business that I run online that I just sell other people's businesses? And I feel like there's one that's out there that's pretty big, like Amazon, that I hear people are getting involved in.
Yeah. Well, what I would say for affiliate marketing is you do have to know how to generate traffic. Whereas when you mention Amazon, the beauty of Amazon is the traffic part of the equation is completely done. You don't have to do any, albeit within their system, you could run Amazon sponsored ads to up your sales, but you can make a very, very substantial income without even using Amazon sponsored ads. But as a pure affiliate, you know, like you're referring to GoToWebinar, things like that, you typically need a website. So we had a back office, we had an opt-in email list, we had our 2 free ebooks, people would opt into our free eBooks and went to a paid offer on the thank you page. And then we built our email list. And having an email list is king. So it really starts with having an email list that can just start with a very simple opt-in offer with a free whatever it may be. But you do have to have an offer that makes sense and that you can get kind of some proof of concept there's a demand for that kind of an offer and know what your competition is. And so, then you've got to drive traffic to that offer.
So let me, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to follow you here and make sure if I'm listening to this for the first time, maybe I say, well, this is a possible path. And mm-hmm. I know, Ian, we've talked about it even pre-show, is that what you did is you took control of your finances. You didn't abdicate it to somebody else. And that's what we're mm-hmm. always preaching on the show is take control of your finances, mm-hmm. then pick a path. And right. this very well may be a way that somebody says, you know what? This could be a possible path, but maybe I don't have the ability to generate traffic. Like I don't have this already this big following or whatever. So what would you say to that person as far as like the very first step, maybe the easiest entree into what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's interesting you asked that question because this rolled through my Facebook feed, feels like about a year ago. And I have a whole big network of internet marketers. And someone asked this question, you know, okay, what would you tell someone just starting now? What kind of a website should they do? What kind of a business should they do online? And I thought, okay, I'm going to sit back and watch the answers roll in. And everyone was going on and on. And then one guy whom I know really well, he said, they should start with Amazon because the funnel is already built. Hmm. The funnel, literally the entire sales funnel is built. So when I talk about sales funnel, it's a skill set. There's quite a few pieces. And for you to get it right, you've got to do ample enough market research to know that this sales funnel that you put together is even going to be halfway viable in the marketplace. With Amazon, it's ready and done. And I don't know if my fellow peers picked it up as much as when I saw this, I'm like, bingo. To me, you had the right answer. And why? Because you don't have to worry about traffic. You don't have to worry about the customers. You don't have to build a sales funnel. It's already done for you. My only qualifier is I always like people to know the boardwalk, or know the board game that you're playing on, the pros and the cons. And I am really big, and in my books, I always taught people you want to work towards owning your own assets. You want to own the real estate. You guys own the real estate. You have your own website. You have your own following. You have your own offer. In affiliate marketing, you don't own that real estate. You're referring to other people. And so I'm all okay as long as people get the big picture view, the pros and the cons. And if they're like, okay, I get it. You spelled out the pros and cons. I get it. I, you know, where there may be some pitfalls. But most people don't have that advantage. They come in from a rather, you know, naive outlook of not really understanding the board game that they're going to be playing on. And when it comes to the internet, word of the wise, you want to know the rules of the game. What are the pitfalls? So with Amazon, the strength of it is it's so darn easy. It's got a low barrier of entry, albeit there's some challenges, of course, that come with that correspondingly. But I always teach people use it as a stepping stone because I don't want people to ever remain in a vulnerable situation that they didn't. Oh, she never told me. She never told me that. Well, let's just say it for what it is. Some people lose their Amazon account. My Google AdWords account got shut down along with 10,000 other direct response marketers in 2009. You know, so these things happen. Where you want to move towards is safeguarding is now you move towards your own website, which could be Shopify. But Amazon, I have people who make six figures very, very easily and nicely through Amazon, and they don't even seek to go any further. But they know the end. I've taught them what their end game could be if they wanted it. Does that make sense at all?
Yes. But before we get into a little bit more on that, somebody said, okay, the first step is Amazon. What does that even mean? Like, how does somebody start a business on Amazon? Do they have to go and buy a bunch of product from somewhere and make sure it's priced right? Like, help us get our heads around how somebody even steps into that space.
Well, Jeff Bezos was, as we know, a brilliantly smart man. And he put together what's called the third party seller platform. And that is where Amazon allows us to be third party sellers, and you have to agree to their terms of service, TOS, they call it. And you really should know their terms of service, because it is a little bit of eminent domain that goes on there. You know, you got to know how they run their board game on Amazon. And you do have to conduct yourself as a professional. And there's a lot of goofy stuff going on Amazon right now. Amazon did actively seek out the Chinese sellers, and now they're paying for it too. And because they got counterfeit. It's on the cover of Wall Street Journal, quite a bit of coverage on this, that, you know, Amazon has been so open with their platform. Now they got to, you know, clean up the mess that comes with when you let people in en masse, which they have. Then there's some riffraff stuff that happens and has to get cleaned up, which basically means the takeaway, and this works in every industry, it's this way, is that when things get messy, then they start to clamp down. When that happens, I personally, as a business owner, look at it, game on. Game on, because when anytime the bar is raised, let's see, we'll lose about 95% of the people now. True or true in business. That's anytime right. That barrier to entry is raised up and the game gets harder, that is always a given that a lot of people will fall out. So the longer you stick with it, the more you can rise above the folks who fall off to the side. Doesn't matter what kind of business or industry it is. That's what happens. So when I see that with Amazon, I tell my people, hey, just know this is a good thing, you know, because there's going to be a lot of people who fall off.
All right. So let's go through a plan. I would love for somebody who's listening to this to take away a process that they could just try to go implement right now. If I wanted to start an Amazon business, give me step one. What's a really high, I know it's probably a million steps, but what if you were going to walk people through a 3 or 4 step process to become someone being successful on Amazon, what would step one have to be?
Starts with this.
A phone.
You're going to download the Amazon seller app.
Okay. I downloaded the Amazon app.
Yep. It's okay. Free. And it was created by Amazon. Okay. And basically, this is an unbelievably sophisticated piece of software that allows you to go to local stores and scan the UPC code on the back of a product.
Okay.
It's the book. Now, book flipping is a whole different kind of subspecialty of what's known as arbitrage. And so with your phone, this app downloaded, I'm thinking Joey's downloading it right now, the Amazon seller app. And I remember the day our CPA up north, he always came to our house to do our accounting and whatnot. When we showed him this, he lost his mind. He's like, oh man, no, my wife, instead of spending all her money, she's going to make me money when she goes shopping. So basically you go to your local retail stores and you're going to scan with your phone. And we have a course on this. We have 3 different arbitrage courses. Each one is a subcategory, a specialty within Amazon. Anyways, there has been no better income producing program that I've created in my 15 years than with our local retail arbitrage method. I am talking about people who have quit their jobs. They have bought new homes. They have bought cars. They've assisted their family members. I'll give you a really quick story. Marvin Hooker is his name, an accountant. We get a lot of accountants because they're very number-centric and they kind of just adds up real quickly. Anyways, the wife was home taking care of the grandchildren during the day because they determined they didn't want these grandkids being raised in a daycare. So there's the grandma and grandpa, but he's off at work as an accountant. She says, honey, you got to really check out this video from this lady. So the story goes, he went into the bathroom stall at work and listened to my video. And then he moved forward. So what happened in 5 months' time, he tripled his income. He tripled his income working in the evenings and the weekends. He tripled his income as an accountant, quit his job in the 5th month in the business. So he and his wife only did this in the evening and on the weekends. So he comes home. They built this big shipping center or shed in their back office. He loaded the picture on our private group page. And they hired both their mothers, who were living solely on Social Security. And they did so well that they ended up buying a home 3 times the square footage of the one that they were in when they came into my program. One of their adult children lost his job, and they were stopgap for him for 5 months while he ran their shipping center in their basement, strictly from local retail arbitrage.
Okay, so I want to make sure we're not skipping steps. So the first step is we're downloading the Amazon seller app on our phone. Step two, we're going into stores and we're scanning SKU numbers on what? Anything?
Anything. Now, as a beginner Amazon seller, there are some categories initially that are restricted. And so you'll have the main categories like household, toys, etc. And you just start scanning. So Walmart, I live 9 miles from downtown Bentonville, Walmart. So I've done a ton of scanning through Walmart. Fantastic for retail arbitrage. But any store will do, a gas station, anywhere where they're selling products.
All right. So let's just walk through an example here. So mm-hmm. I walk into Walmart. I walk up to a product, a cooler, for example. Mm-hmm. And I scan the little code on it.
Yep.
What happens now?
Okay, then it is read on your app. What we look for is a minimum profit of 30% in our community.
Okay, hold, can uh-huh. I stop you on that?
Yeah.
So you scanned it. You put in a cost of good, meaning yep. what the price said there at Walmart.
Correct.
Or wherever you were scanning it at. And then it automatically knew that you could sell this on Amazon for a higher price.
It will indicate if it is in fact profitable or not. They're not all by any
right.
means. And yeah. even at that, that's not the only criteria. Obviously you need profitability, but you need to know its rank, for example, the sales velocity of the product, and Amazon dishes that up. So these wow. data points are there. So who wins the game is who has the data points and who knows how to best interpret the data points. Another one is how many other FBA sellers are there. So when you're an FBA seller, that means fulfilled by Amazon. So I know I'm going into some nuances here, but in general, this is what my members do. And I interviewed a couple, they have 13 children. They're on track for 5 million this year doing this.
Wow. So they're downloading the app. They're going into a store and they're scanning codes and they're putting it in there. And that's giving them data points to say, are these kind of SKUs profitable ones?
Yeah.
Correct.
And if they are, what are they doing with that information?
Then you buy it.
Okay, so I buy a bunch of those items uh-huh. from Walmart, and then do what?
You ship them into Amazon because this is fulfillment by Amazon. It's not merchant fulfilled. There's two different methods of selling on Amazon. If it's merchant fulfilled, it means you'll be shipping it off to the customer. When it's FBA, that's a secret sauce, if you will. You will show up in the buy box more than a merchant fulfilled. And Amazon is basically gives endorsement when you are an FBA seller. You're going to end up in that buy box. And here's why. Prime buyers. Are you guys Prime? Either one of you?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. 110 million strong of us, right? Why? Big part is 2-day free shipping. So that's the secret sauce of Amazon is the FBA program for us as sellers. And who sits on the other side of the fence but these Prime customers, the best on the planet? No one to compare to Prime customer buyers on Amazon. And that's who we're essentially catering to. And Amazon favors us as FBA sellers. Prime buyers are going to want to buy our stuff. The other part is you don't write a listing. You're leveraging often of an existing listing.
So that's what I was about to ask. I'm just staying with this. I'm sorry. I apologize. I keep coming back to it, but I'm slow in this regard. So I'm downloading the app. I'm going into the store. I'm scanning the goods. If the SKU comes back and shows me it's a profitable one, then I'm buying as much of it as I possibly can. And then immediately I just turn around and I send it to an Amazon place and they give me money for that.
They don't give you money until it sells.
Okay.
Yeah. People have asked that. And by the way, there are FBA fees, and when those are calculated on your phone, it does include shipping, because that's the number one objection I hear more than anything. Ah, yes, but we got you, Ann. What about that shipping? No, it's covered. It's displayed in here what the cost of the shipping will be for you as an FBA seller. Okay, and these are the best shipping rates in the entire industry.
So now Amazon has the product. and they're going to fulfill it. They're going to send it directly to that buyer. And when they do, you get paid.
Correct. And they pay every 2 weeks.
Okay. And if they don't sell, what happens to the product?
That's a great question. All right. There's different ways to deal with that. One is hold on. You know, like they said with crypto, just hang on, hold on. But
I'm still
it's
holding
just,
on to that, by the way.
Same here. Same here. But it, because the, it's extremely a volatile marketplace in Q4, which is just coming to a wrap right now. It's insane. 1 million pieces a day at its peak out of any given Amazon warehouse right during Q4, the fourth quarter. That's my train of thought on that.
So you could either hold on to the goods.
Yes.
Or
this is what one of my top sellers does. So she did 340 grand her first year all by herself.
340,000 of profit?
No, sales.
Sales.
And she gets about 32% profit.
So this a little particular over 100,000 of mm-hmm. profit. Okay.
Yeah. And she loves it. She used to own two different brick and mortar businesses. She couldn't be happier than with, and she loves what she does. You had asked the question. I want to make sure I finish. Oh, the products. Or what she does is she brings them back and it's 50 cents, dirt cheap to pull it back. And she just scans once or twice a month. And when she sees the price has gone back up, she ships it in and she can still remain profitable doing it that way. I typically would drop my price, but then you can get what's called the race to the bottom. So there's a lot of nuances about that, but, and there's different strategies on how you want to work through that. But I'm going to tell you this much though. It all comes down to law of averages. So while you may take a loss here and there, and some people, if they don't understand business dynamics, well, pray tell, I couldn't possibly do it if I took a loss on a product. Yeah, you can. It's the law of averages. So you can win really big.
All right. Okay. So, Ann, I want to get into this. I wish Joey and I had smarter questions that we would have gotten to this really, really quickly, because this is the fun. This is the meat. This is what, if I'm riding down the road and I'm trying mm-hmm. to find a way to stop trading time for money, I want a side hustle, whether for me, my spouse, for my kid. I see this as another avenue. Again, we talk about all the time, as the Joey
path.
Said,
yeah.
taking a path. And maybe this path is the one that could get me there quicker. So, Ann, are you willing to come into our community next week and like teach like a deeper level of this? Because I've just got 1,000 questions and I could just keep going back through this process of scanning, buying it, sending it off. And how does the next step work? And how does the next step work? Are you willing to do that for us?
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to one up this, by the way, because I like the term leverage. You mentioned that. Now, some people stick to this method, but it does require you to an extent. It is linear income. You've got to be boots to the ground in the stores, correct?
Right.
Now, we do have people who do hire people to do their shipping for them. They do that more so than the sourcing side. But this family with 13 children, they've got a massive operation, so it can still be very profitable. However, please know this. It can all be done online without even having to go to the stores. Plus, you can hire VAs to do the work for you. Plus, you can have the product shipped to a shipping center that does this for third-party sellers, such that you can have a completely hands-off business. We have okay. that too.
All right. So Russ is always trying to make everything part-time, including his work with me. I think he's salivating at the moment. So I appreciate you sharing this with us, being willing to come in and do the Q&A. I know you've got additional resources, books, courses, things like that. And I want to have you come in, share some great knowledge with us, and then see if there's others that can take advantage of this as well.
Yeah, sounds like fun. And 100% certain there are other people who could definitely take advantage of this. It's all a right. lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. So right now, if you want to take advantage of this with Ann, we've created a page for you. You can go to, it's wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/Ann.
That's A-N-N.
my kids would go jinx on that one, Joey. But so on that page, we're going to give you an option to be able to get into the community free, because you're a podcast listener. I know you've heard us for a long time talk about this community as a paid for group. But as a podcast listener right now, we're going to give you a free link to get into this. You're going to be able to hear Ann next week. So make sure you register for that event when you get in there. But that way, you're going to be able to hear how she's doing this. And ultimately, Ann, I want to be able to figure out, is this something I need to be teaching to my 14-year-old? Is this one of those businesses yes. that she could be participating in? And she goes with her mom to the store a lot. Yeah. One could be spending money and one could be making money. And if I could just literally offset those two,
just break even.
It's a neutral position, Joey.
That's
right. We could literally take all those cardboard boxes that the stuff is coming to my house in and turn around and ship it back.
Man. That's right.
He's on the
You got the idea. Now, when you drive by a store, you're in a store, they're big money machines. They're not to be thought of as where I lose money. And this is a more powerful, as you guys know, computer than what they used to take men to the moon, right? So this is what we have at our disposals, and it can also be done online, right? Yeah. And people need to be thinking about, it's just such a beautiful, it's such a beautiful model. And truly, I've never seen more success. I talked about affiliate marketing earlier. They take more skill sets. This, I just tell people, scan and ship.
Scan and ship. That's the words and advice. Ship.
And thank you so much for being on the show, for coming and sharing this information. You have taken control. You've picked a path. And I mean, it sounds like you're getting people there faster with your methods. So we're grateful. You've added a ton of value. And we're so excited to have you on the show today.
Again, if you're listening, as you're listening to this, I want you to go to wealthwithwallstreet.com/and sign up for the community so that you can hear about what Ann's doing. We'll also give all the links to the different things that she's doing so you can follow her as well. We really appreciate you listening. And thank you so much again, Ann, for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you, gentlemen.
If you've been listening to our podcast, you're like, man, I love what you guys are talking about. I want to build passive income through one of these five pillars that you're talking about. But how do I do it? Stallion, tell them. It is so easy.
So easy that we created the longest URL possible. So you may want to write this down. freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Go to freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com and you can set up your call with one of us. We're excited to talk to you.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.